let's take our Bibles together, the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, a book about the ministry, and yet it's not, as some would say, concerning ministry. It's not just something for pastors or deacons or missionaries or whatnot, but it's a book about how all Christians, if you belong to Jesus, you ought to look at your life as a ministry for the Lord. And you ought to look at yourself as a minister of God. And you don't have to have a certain position to be God's minister. If you're saved, you're one of God's workers. And you need to let His life be lived through you to accomplish what He wants to accomplish through your life. And we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 as we continue to go verse by verse through this book of the Word of God together. And we started, arrived at verse 4, but let's go back up in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "We then as workers together with Him." Now that's all the Corinthians. That's the women, that's the teenagers, that's everybody. Everybody that named the name of Christ as He started back in chapter 5. And I'll show you that in just a second. But He says in verse 1, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing." Now he says in verse 4, "In all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God." Verse 1, workers together with Him. If you go back to chapter 5, we told you about the ministry. He said in chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Is that you? If you're in Christ, say amen tonight. So this is written to you. "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us," that's the same people, verse 17, "to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us," that's the same people, verse 17, look at it, "hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." I wish I could get you to believe that you are in the ministry. Because God says you are. And wherever you find yourself, it's all for His purposes. It's all for His glory. It's all for His work, whether it's some far and away place or some workplace that needs the light shine there. It's all a work for God. And we are all ministers of God. And we need to be working for Him. And if you'll look at your life in that light, it'll help you get through life. In other words, you're not just a teacher because that's your job. Your job is a minister of the Lord, and He's got you in a school. In other words, if you work in a plant or a factory, or you work in the Defense Department or somewhere else, or one of those companies, that all that may be fine and well, but God's got you there for His purpose, for His reason. It's not for you just to make that check. Oh, that's just a necessary evil. You are His representative, you see. You are His worker.
You are His minister. Now, that does not downplay the need for pastors and preachers and missionaries. And I would say this, as we go through this text, they never taught anything in this text to people in Bible college. I mean, I got taught, you know, Greek and homiletics and hermeneutics, and I got taught Christian psychology and all types of different things about the ministry. And I never had one time, I never had one professor that opened up 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and tell me that this is the way I would approve myself as a minister of God. There's a lot of things in there we read tonight. 28 things. That'd be a pretty good college course, wouldn't it? 28 different ways to approve ourselves as ministers of God. We're not downplaying the fact that we need preachers and missionaries, but all God's people are His ministers and His workers. You know, I've often looked, you know, we talk about deacons being ordained. You understand a deacon is just a servant. He's just a servant. I mean, deacons are just those that serve the Lord in whatever capacity it is. But, you know, that's what you ought to be doing where you are. And wherever God puts you, you need to see that as God's calling on your life to represent Him, God's minister. And so He tells us in this text how we can approve ourselves. Look at it, verse 14. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Now, that's a strange phrase. Now, what we do with ministers, we try to prove them before other people. In other words, before anybody takes a position as a minister, it can be a minister in government, it could be a minister in the church, other people have to usually approve of them in some fashion. But you know, that's not what this text says. Look at it again. He said approving, what's the next word? Ourselves. In other words, we're the ones that are approving ourselves to whether or not we are this minister of God that is approved of God. It's our life that proves that. You know, people can be approved by others and have the approval of other people, but that doesn't mean they're approved by God. And I would say this, you know, He didn't even say this in this text, and I find this rather strange. He said in verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves. He didn't even say God's approval. Did you see that? Approving ourselves. You know what? Why I believe He says that? Because if you look at these verses from verse number 4 all the way down to verse 10, if that is our life, we have been approved. We've been approved by our own life. Our own life has proven that we're that worker. Our own life has proven that we're that minister of God. And so when we, you know, so many people want God's approval and they want other people's approval. How about approving yourself? That's what He says. How about approving you? And that's not just a blanket, okay, I approve of myself. You know, anybody, no, through your life. Through your life's testimony, you are showing that you are approved to be God's faithful minister because of these things that are written in this text. Approving ourselves as the ministers of God. You know, I think of that proving, and I can't help but think about David, you know. Remember that? David comes before Saul, he's going to fight the giant. And so Saul puts all his armor on him. I bet that looked crazy, man. I mean, David's not a tall man. And remember, Saul was head and shoulders above all the people. I mean, that'd be like, I don't know what it'd be like. I'm trying to pick out somebody short. Maybe I ought not do that. But that'd be like taking somebody's suit of clothes and putting them on some short guy. I mean, it just doesn't work. I mean, baggy, all that. And you know what the Bible says about David? The Bible says he said to go, he put it aside. He said this because I hadn't proved it. Saul, this might be good for you, but I've never seen whether this works or not. I've never had this on before, but I do know what works. In my life, I've seen some things be approved in my own life with that bear and with that lion. And this Philistine's going to be, I tell you what, I know how to handle a sling, and I know what these stones will do, and I know what my God can do. And so what David did, he put that those things aside because he hadn't proved them. You know, a lot of people want, listen now, a lot of people want to be used by God. But the truth is, until we have approved ourselves, until we go through some of that proving ground, God's going to have a hard time using things that He's never proved, you see. Or that we've not proved in our own lives. As ministers of approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In other words, you know, Vance Havner said this. Vance Havner said, I never forget, I wrote it down, like all the notes I write down for him. He said, you need to quit praying for God to use you. He said, God uses you all He can. In other words, our lives have got to be where God can use them. And this text shows us the life that God can use and the approval. You know, it's so funny, you know, people getting doctor's degrees and all kind of, you know, and they think that approves. The proof is right here.
Amen.
And this is not for preachers. This is for every Christian. Now let's go through these things. He's got three groups. It's very strange how he goes through this in verse 4 and 5. He gives 10 things. We approve ourselves in 10 things. And then verse 6 to 8, we approve ourselves by 11 things. And that's why he uses the word in 10 times, the word in 10 times, the word by 11 times. And then from verse 8 to 10, he uses the word as. This is the approval. Let's go through these. He says in verse number 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, number 1, in much patience. In other words, the only way that we are going to be faithful ministers and effective ministers for the Lord and workers for God, we've got to have not just patience, but much patience. The Bible said, let patience have her perfect work, James chapter 1. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, the need for patience. We want everything to be done, you know, right now and on our schedule. And God, that's just not how life is. You just got to have patience. You've got to have patience for your life to work out the way God wants it to work out. So many people, they get ahead of God because they don't have any patience. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 21, verse 19, Jesus said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. You know, your soul, your mind, and your will, and your emotions will get so out of whack if you don't have patience. If you don't have patience to get through things and wait on things. He says over and over in the Bible, wait on the Lord. We have a hard time with that, don't we? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen our heart. But we want our thing fixed now. We want our problem resolved now. We want people to be ministered to and helped right now. And I tell you, in the ministry, you got to have a lot of patience. You got to have patience with people, and you've got to have patience in your own life. He said the first thing you... to prove yourself, how much patience do you have? Because if you don't have patience, your ministry is not going to be very effective. He said, in much patience, what's the second thing he says? In afflictions. Afflictions. You know, there's so many negative things in these verses. Afflictions. But this is our proving ground. This is how we know it works. Hey, if your Christianity doesn't work in affliction, it isn't real. You understand what I'm saying? If it only works when it's good, then all types of things work when things are good. But he says in afflictions. When I think of afflictions, I think of Moses. He said over there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 33, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, down in Egypt, they were afflicted. And don't get the wrong idea. It wasn't that Moses was immune from all that. He chose to suffer affliction. And he approved himself as a minister of God through those afflictions. Through those things that he suffered. You know, the Apostle Paul had so many different afflictions in his life. And he even called it, we preached upon it when we were going through chapter number 4. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And I mean, you talk about a guy that had been afflicted. Now, when we talk about afflictions, it can be sickness of body. It can be someone else afflicting you. It can be poverty. You know, poverty is an affliction. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, just two chapters over from this one, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. These are the churches of Macedonia that funded the missionary work of the Apostle Paul and were used so greatly of God. And these churches were in affliction, and they were in affliction because of their deep poverty. I tell you what. You know, you think some of the things we go through is tough. You and I don't know what it's like to be deeply poor. We don't. But what I'm telling you is that God's people throughout the ages have approved themselves as workers of God and ministers of God, being in the depth of afflictions, many times of poverty. Couldn't even feed their family. I mean, have you read some of those stories of George Mueller having just to pray for his daily bread? Didn't have any food. Didn't have food for himself. Didn't have food for those orphans that he was ministering to. Didn't have anything. Well, we don't have that problem. I mean, if you're really down and out, you can go get some food stamps somewhere. Somebody will give you something to eat. You talk about affliction. He talks about affliction in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. He says, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. You know, if you give out the gospel enough, you'll probably engender some affliction to yourself. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, he said, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. How do we approve ourselves as ministers of God? How can we be the people that God can use? We've got to be able to endure the tough times, endure the afflictions. And if we can't endure the afflictions, then we're not usable for God. We've not approved ourselves. If we can only rejoice in the sunshine, if we can only serve God when it's popular or when it's acceptable, if we can't do it in affliction, we don't know much about it, you see. He talks about those afflictions of Job. Now that's a real Christian before there was a Christian, amen. I mean, Job knew more about God than all of us with the Holy Ghost put inside our bodies. And he learned all that through affliction. And he came forth as gold. And yet today in Christianity, it seems like it's so weak. And the slightest hardship just knocks us out of the race. And friend, that's how we approve ourselves. That's how we can become the ministers of God in afflictions. That's where the proving ground is. He says in afflictions, then he says the next phrase, in necessities. Now, when I first thought about that, I thought, well, maybe his necessity of some health issue or helper or... But then my mind went to 1 Corinthians 9, 16. Where the Apostle Paul says, necessity is laid upon me. He says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You know, I'd say we're not approved as ministers of God if we have not found the necessity to give out the gospel to people. That's why we hold signs. If we can't go door to door, we can hold a sign. If we can't do what we did before, we can give a tract. We can do something. Be a witness some way, somehow. If I wasn't so ornery, all these robo people that call me, amen, I'd start witnessing the gospel to them. I just get so fed up with them, I just hang up on them, you know. But I ought to say, you know, let me talk to you a minute. When I get through, I'll let you talk. And then give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's a necessity. And I tell you what, we have not proved ourselves as workers of God if we don't see the necessity to preach the gospel. And then he says next, in something else. Verse 4, in last phrase, in distresses. Now, I find that interesting for this reason. Look back at chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 8, he says this. We are troubled on every side. Look at it. Yet not distressed. Now, how do you reconcile both of those verses? The Apostle Paul said, we approve ourselves in distresses. But he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Well, you know, you can, listen, this is so good. You can be in distress, but not be distressed. In other words, you can find yourself geographically located in a distressing situation. But just because you are in distresses does not mean you have to be distressed. It's sort of like our age that we live in. You understand, we live in an apostate age. We live in an age that's going farther and farther away from God. Evil men are waxing worse and worse. And Christianity is so far away from biblical Christianity. But though you are in that situation, you don't have to be that way. You can be in a terrible situation, but you have something different going on the inside of you. Oh man, there's a lot of distressing situations that Christians get themselves in, but you don't have to be distressed in the distress. Look at the next one. He says in distresses, and then verse 5, in stripes. Well, we all flunked that one. I've never borne my back to the whip because of Jesus. I don't know about you, but when we meet all those saints that did, you know, if they, I don't know that it'll happen that way, but if they say, you know, what'd you do? Well, it was just so hard to serve God in the 21st century. I'm sorry. How bad did they beat you? Well, you know, it was just so hard with getting my family to do right. And we just had so many obstacles. Oh, yeah. How many stripes did they give you? You know, it's nothing like the Bible that sort of puts our lives in a little bit better perspective. He said in stripes. He said at the end of the book of Galatians, he said, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Stripes. Look at the next one. In stripes and imprisonments. You know, I wonder if Christians start getting arrested, I wonder how real our Christianity will be. We've had it so easy in this country for so long. And he says, we approve ourselves by imprisonments. Now, God's people in the early church, they all had records. They all had a rap sheet. They were hauling them, you know. Saul, before he got saved, Paul, before he got saved, he was hauling them in, arresting them, bringing them in the law. Imprisonments. You know, our forefathers have always been in prison. It wasn't just Paul. It just wasn't the early church. I mean, those that stood against the Catholic Church and stood for the right truths of the Bible, they were imprisoned and they were martyred. They were killed. And not just in the Catholic Church. I mean, some of the worst treatment that anybody ever was given was John Bunyan. And that was in a Protestant government. They took John Bunyan, threw him in prison. You know what John Bunyan was? And one of the greatest thing outside of the Bible, probably Spurgeon said that was ever written, was Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan was approving himself as a good minister of God in imprisonment. I can't say that I know a lot about that. I have been hauled to jail about 2 or 3 times overseas, but it never amounted to anything. And I say this, if you find yourself in that situation, I'll give you personal testimony there because I've found myself in that situation. The Lord will be with you. And I can't explain it, and it's not that I'm very spiritual because I'm not a very spiritual person. I don't believe that. But there was such a peace and a calm in my heart when they put me in the paddy wagon. And I mean, it was almost fun. I hate to even say that because you might think I'm making light of it. But there was just such a calmness that everything was okay. It was all intimidation. It was all trying to stop the preaching of the gospel and the word of God, whether it was Romania or whether it was Greece. There was no harm ever done. But you know what? I don't know where we're headed in this country. And just maybe we'll get that opportunity to approve ourselves in imprisonments. You know, it'd be better if that wasn't in the Bible, wouldn't it? Well, how have you approved yourself as a minister of God? Well, I went to seminary. Nah, that don't make the cut. How did you approve yourself as the minister of God? Well, I've got all this Bible knowledge. Have you ever went to jail? Brother Roloff went to jail. I don't know if they start hauling our brethren off to jail in California. Maybe all of us just need to get amen on a plane and go out there with them. Amen. Just stand and say, arrest us too. Say, how big of a jail you got.
Yeah.
Approving ourselves as the ministers of God. They're letting people out of jail that ought to be in jail right now because of the virus and threatening to put a preacher in jail. In imprisonments, verse 5, in tumults. What's that? Well, tumults is just this big congregation that gets out of control. If you recall, the Bible says there was a tumult at the cross. Just a big tumult. I mean, they're all screaming out, you know, crucify him and working the people up into this big rage. That was, God called it a tumult. Many times in the Old Testament when he speaks of war, he talks about a tumult in a time of war. People just going crazy. Tumults are also, we find Jairus's at his house with his daughter dying, and then she's going to be dead and Jesus going to raise from the dead. There was a tumult at that funeral. When they came and arrested Paul, you might recall in the book of Acts, there's a great tumult, and they were just about going to pull him apart. Just a mob. Sort of reminds you of the news. You know how we can approve ourselves as a minister of God? In the midst of tumults. He says furthermore in verse 5, in labors. In labors. In other words, we as God's people, we ought not be averse to hard work. We ought to be hard workers physically, hard workers spiritually. And there's two sides of that. We ought to be willing to break a sweat for God. You stand out there on the streetcar, well, it's going to be in the middle of the day. Well, it might, I don't think that's really hard work. I mean, I've dug ditches and worked on roofs, stuff like that. But I mean, that's not real hard to hold a sign in the middle of the day, but maybe a little hard on the flesh. I don't know. But labor, physical labor. But you know, there's some spiritual labor that's hard work too. You know, some people they would bust a gasket if they had to pray more than 5 minutes. You know, prayer's hard work, brethren. He said, "Well, I'm laboring. I've approved myself as a minister of God in labors. I work hard in labors." Then he says, "In watchings," verse 5. We approve of ourselves as the ministers of God in watchings. What does that mean? Well, we need to watch for people's souls. We need to be the watchman on the wall, watching for the destruction to come and giving people warning. We need to be watchers. We need to watch into prayer. Most of the time you'll find that phrase in the New Testament. Watch and pray. We need to be watching for the coming of the Lord. Watching and expectation. We need to be God's watchers. We ought to be watching our lives for things that get out of line. We ought to be watching our sins and our habits and those sins that does so easily beset us. We need to be watchful of those things. Approving ourselves as ministers of God in watchings. And then he said, in fastings. Church, we need to fast over this election in our country. We probably need to be fasting when we think about our missions giving and our missions conference. We need to be fasting at times in our lives when we're drawing away from God, when there just seems to be something not right on the inside. God's people need to understand what it's like to fast, and that's a great spiritual thing. It's not just the activity of, and we don't brag about it, and we don't tell other people that we're doing it, but I tell you what, when God means more to you than food, you'll probably be getting down the road. Because none of us have a problem eating. In fastings. Then he says, 11 buys, verse 6, by pureness. Pureness. What can I do to approve myself as a minister of God? What can I do to make sure that I'm usable of God? Well, be pure. Paul told Timothy, keep thyself pure. You know, we've had people that were maybe great singers or great preachers or great teachers or had great personalities. But if you're not pure in your life, all the singing and all the playing and all the preaching and all the teaching and all the personality isn't worth a dime. We approve ourselves as ministers of God by pureness. I get so sick and tired every time I see another story. It's all that junk about Jerry Falwell. Puke. Just puke. Why can't God's people be pure? Keep thyself pure. God wants a clean vessel. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Thank God for some of our young people that are keeping themselves pure until marriage. There's enough dirt and grime and filth by pureness. I've got more respect for somebody that's clean and pure with their eyes, with their heart, with their mind, than the greatest orator or the guy that has the biggest church in the world. It's not impressive. God says, approve yourself by pureness. And I tell you what, every one of us, and this is all of us, you need to work on your purity. He says, by pureness, by knowledge. I sort of want to put that one back with verse 7 when he says, by the word of truth, by the knowledge of the word of God. Every minister, every Christian ought to know that Bible and study that Bible and learn that Bible and learn not just the Bible, but learn about the God of the Bible. Have a knowledge of the author, not just a knowledge of the words. We need both of those things together. We approve ourselves by knowledge. God's workers, look, we can't afford for God's workers to be dumb. We got to be smart. We've got to have some sharpness about us in our understanding. He says, approve ourselves by knowledge and by the word of truth, down in verse 7. There is no ministry without it being Bible-based. And then he says, verse 6, by long suffering. Just to see how much you can take. How much can you take? God approves his workers, his saints in the world. He watches how much they can take by long suffering. And then I like this one in verse 6. He says, by kindness. You know, there's not really ever a reason not to be kind. Ephesians 4:32, you know the reference, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That Bible says that God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. We have a kind God. And we know that because if he wasn't kind, he'd already wiped this thing out a long time ago. He's just a kind God. Well, how do I prove myself to be a minister? Well, how's my kindness? Am I able to be kind to people? You know, it's strange. Some people that think they're the most spiritual and they're just, they don't know what kindness is about. They're just mean. They're not spiritual about being mean. He says kindness. 6, by the Holy Ghost. And I would probably call your attention in verse 7, the second phrase there, by the power of God. I can see those things working together. In other words, there's no way that I can be a worker for God or a minister of God without the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost controlling my life. That's one of the missing ingredients to Christianity in people. They've not approved themselves by the Holy Ghost, not filled with the Spirit. Then he says in verse 6, by love unfeigned. That's an unhypocritical love. Not a love that would love somebody to their face and then stab them in the back or gossip about them later on, but by love unfeigned. A real love, a true love. Loving God and loving people and loving the truth. Verse 7, he said, by the word of God, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You know what that Bible tells us in Ephesians 6? It says, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. And he says that two times. You know, without the armor of God, you're not going to be able to stand. And we approve ourselves as ministers of God by putting on that armor on the right hand and on the left. I mean, get it all over you. Make sure it covers every part of your life. Let there be no open space for the devil to hit you. Get that armor on. The whole armor of God. He says in verse 8, the next three sort of go together. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. You know, every Christian that tries to do something for God is going to be looked at by someone as a deceiver. Look at your Bible. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. I mean, there are people that get on the internet and they say that we're all involved in a cult and we're all deceiving people. You know, stuff like that ought not bother you. When people honor you, don't let it go to your head. And when people dishonor you, don't let it go to your head. You see what he says there? A good worker for God, a good Christian, is going to be honored and he's going to be dishonored. But you don't care about any of that because all you care about is approving yourself as a minister of God because you love God. You're not interested in what people think about you. You're not interested in the reputation. Reputation, what people say you are. Character is what God knows you to be. If someone honors you, well, great. If you're dishonored, you know, some people, they get dishonored, they just can't go on. I need respect. Well, they didn't respect him. They didn't respect the early church. They didn't respect Jesus. I tell you what, I don't know. Maybe I have been spit in the face before. I don't know. I'd have to think that one back. They spit in Jesus' face. That's pretty dishonorable. And he approved himself by honor and dishonor. And then he says by evil report and good report. I'll tell you this. If people only speak well of you, you're not doing something right. Now, I don't try to live my life for people to speak evil of me. But the truth is, if we live for God, if we serve God, you're going to have good reports and you're going to have evil reports. That's just part of being a worker for God. You'd have to not do anything for God to never have an evil report. And some people just can't take others talking about them. Who cares? It's not about you. It's not about you looking good. It's about the Word of God going forth. It's about God's will being done. It's not about how we get treated or mistreated by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report as deceivers and yet true. And then he says, as unknown and yet well known. You know, some people go through life and they just want other people to know them. They're so infatuated with getting all the friends they can get and all the people following them. You know, I don't really know what all that means. They're following you. Where are you going? Where are they following you to? What if I just, you know, he says as unknown. If nobody even knows your name, you know what else the Bible says? If you're one of God's workers, you're well known. I mean, what a thing that in heaven they know who I am. That's my crowd. That's my family up there. I got a reservation up there. That's where my people are. That's where my inheritance is. That's where I belong. They know me up in heaven. Why would I want to be known here? As unknown and yet well known. There's some people down here that everybody knows who they are, and they can't get away from the paparazzi and the people, and they just wish they had a day where nobody knew where they were, who they were. We don't serve God to be known. It doesn't matter if we're unknown or well known. Verse 9, as dying and behold we live. We're dying to the flesh. Our bodies day by day are dying, wearing out, but yet we live. We have spiritual life. Christ lives in us. One day we'll live forever. As dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. You know, that Bible says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. I tell you what, it's a very great comfort of heart when God chastens you. Because that shows how much He loves you. He chastens every son, listen, whom He receiveth. When God chastens us, that just shows how much He loves us. How much He's interested in us, and we ought to rejoice in that. And He chastened us, but He didn't kill us. He gave us a big whipping. You say, man, what do I do if God's whipping on me? Just rejoice, man. Say, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. You're trying to knock off the bad edges, the wickedness that's in my life. Thank you for caring enough about me to get involved in my life to chasten me. We're all chastened as God's people. That's the way we approve ourselves. If we're not chastened, we don't even belong to God. Let alone can we work for Him. As chastened and not killed, verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. We must learn to rejoice through though we are as sorrowful. He didn't say we, and all these as, it's a simile. The sorrow is, it's as if we were sorrowful, but yet on the inside we're rejoicing. Every one of us have sorrows to go through life. But He says, you've got to keep your rejoicing. And listen. You will never be able to do anything for God if you don't learn to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And if you can only rejoice when it's good, and if you've not learned to rejoice even when the sorrows are there, then you've not approved yourself of being able to serve God effectively, because the world needs to see a rejoicing heart in the midst of sorrow. As sorrowful, yet always. Always rejoicing. Happy Christians make a difference. Christian people who are sore mouth and down in the mouth and just dragging all the time, we cannot do any effective work to the world with that kind of spirit. They don't want what we have. They have to see a rejoicing heart. Preacher, I don't always feel like doing it. Just do it anyway. Say, I'm taking off this armor and I haven't proved it, but I'm going to grab this sling and I'm going to grab this stone and I'm going to praise God and thank God and rejoice in the Lord and lift my voice up and say hallelujah and tell Him I love Him. And you'll approve yourself that way. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. I've talked to some pastors said, well, what do you think? I think it was Brother Willette. We spent some time together, and he's been all around the country and preached in churches that many of them are doing very well. And I said, give me some ingredients of churches that are really making a difference for the Lord in these last days. And without hesitation, one of the first things he said was they have a joyful, happy spirit. Because nobody wants that other mess. It doesn't even matter if you're right. If you don't have a rejoicing spirit, how can the work of God be done effectively? As sorrowful yet rejoicing,
yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. These Christians gave up some things to help somebody else. They made themselves poor so that someone else could have something. That's sort of what missions is. We make ourselves a little poorer so that others can find the riches of God. As poor, yet making many rich. I don't... Good night. How many Christians do you know that fit that? They got poor so other people could get rich. Isn't that the testimony of the life of Jesus? That though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. That's over there in chapter 8. You know what He's saying? We need to prove ourselves as good Christians by not just trying to enrich ourselves, but enriching other people. And yes, that's going to cost you something. But that's how you approve yourself. As poor, yet making many rich, lastly, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Looks like don't have anything, but I got everything. Got everything. Everything in Jesus Christ. I'm a joint heir with Him. And though my life here is I work for the Lord and I prioritize God instead of me, sometimes it looks like I don't have anything, but I've got everything and it's waiting for me just ahead and it'll be there forever and ever. Let me ask you a question. Have you approved yourself as a minister of God?